This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman.
On News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington, and welcome to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here on your Friday night, February 5th. Or if you are waking up on Saturday morning to me on the 6th, glad you're joining me. And break out the cup of coffee, if you will. I've already been, if it's Saturday, I've already been up about 3 hours or so, and I'm spending my Saturday out at Edgewood High School at the annual Contest of Champions Show Choir Contest, and going to be emceeing that and the gymnasium. So if anybody's out and about and coming out to Edgewood High School on Saturday, make sure that you come in the gym and flag me down, wave, say hi, whatever the case may be. It is, the most common comparison that I can make to this experience this weekend is the television show Glee that went off the air a year or so back, the whole singing, dance, all of that good stuff. Years ago in high school, I was a member of Music Warehouse out there, and the group is celebrating their 40th anniversary this year, actually. And this year is the, 22nd, 23rd anniversary of Contest of Champions. There are about 30-plus different performing groups from a variety of schools across the Midwest and across the country coming in town. And so it's just a lot of good music, a lot of talent from these young men and women in junior high and high school performing groups. So Edgewood High School Contest of Champions, Saturday. It starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I think the awards are going to wrap up at midnight on Saturday night. So a very long day, but a very fun day, and a great experience for the kids. So hopefully we will have a nice turnout and no bad weather. That's the good news in the forecast, which we'll get to in a few minutes. Mr. Pillar is out this week, so I am flying solo, but never fear, there's plenty of news to talk about in the last week, national, statewide, local, so we'll get to all of that and touch base on a variety of things. February, though, is also Heart Month. Back in October, I did a little bit of a career switch and started working for the American Heart Association, and there is an event coming up on February 19th. I'm very proud to be partnering and helping with. It's called Go Red for Women. So we're going to talk a little bit about heart health, some different things that you can think about, just a variety of tips, if you will, that will help you get into a little bit of a healthier lifestyle, so to speak. So we'll talk about that later on in the show as well. Plenty of sports action. Of course, this is Super Bowl weekend. We've been talking about it for months here on the station, and this is your home for the Super Bowl coverage. You can tune in right here to AM 1370 and 96.1 FM and listen to the big game this weekend. Carolina and the Denver Broncos playing out in California. It's the first Super Bowl in Northern California since 1985, so about 30 years or so since the last game in Northern California happened. And there's a lot of talk about Peyton Manning with this game. Of course, because of his age, because of his injuries, because of his tenure and his legacy as an NFL quarterback, what's going to happen after February 7th rolls through? Is he going to retire? Is he going to stick around another year? It's to be seen. Of course, the rumors that have gone on in the last week or so is that he has talked with his friends about retirement. And the thing that immediately struck my mind is, if I were a friend of Peyton Manning, I would know how valuable trust is to him. So I'm not quite sure that those friends are really BFFs, if you will. But anyway, we'll talk about more later on in the show as well. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Check it out. Like us. Follow us. Give us your feedback, your comments. We always like to hear what our listeners have to say. Appreciated Pat Wilson coming on last week and the two kids from Bloomington High School North talking about the Habitat for Humanity program. All of that information, how you get tickets for that, and I think it's about time to wrap up on the ticket sales, but that is all available at WGCLradio.com. Click on the local shows link and go to the Bloomington Review page, and you can see the podcast links and all the information in there for you. So high school boys basketball was last night, Thursday night. BHS North was out at Edgewood. So that game was last evening because we're getting into girls high school sectionals. So no game tonight here on WGCL. We're going to take a break, come back. We've got your forecast, as I mentioned, lots of local news to talk about on the legal side. Unfortunately, we also have some changes, or some grades, rather, for RBB and MCCSC that came out in light of all the I-STEP information and things. So we'll talk about just all kinds of fun stuff. Glad you're joining me for the next hour. It's going to be a good time, I promise. Stay with me. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman with you on your Friday night, the first weekend of February. And Punxsutawney Phil, if I understand, did not see his shadow, so there will not be six more weeks of winter. But apparently, there's still a little bit of stuff still to linger, according to the forecast this weekend. Friday night, tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 24. Saturday, a slight chance of rain and snow showers before 1 in the afternoon, and then a slight chance of rain. Partly sunny with a high near 47. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low around 28. And then on Sunday, partly sunny, a high near 49. Then we're going to get another dip in the temps. The temperatures are going to be dropping into the high 20s. Early next week, chance of rain and snow most every day. So check your weather all the time right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. It's a very sick and disturbing story, but a 30-year sentence was imposed on Gerald Honeycutt this week by Monroe County Judge Mark Kellums. He sentenced him to a prison term that will keep him behind bars, as we mentioned, for 30 years, involving two rape cases, one including a woman in her 70s, who was on a walker. This was part of Judge Kellums' quote in the courtroom earlier this week. Kellums approved a plea deal for a 1999 rape of a woman who was 62 years old, and then last year's multiple rape of a 73-year-old woman who contacted police by pushing the button on her health alert system. During a court hearing last week, Honeycutt said he wanted to take back his courtroom confession from November, which he said under oath that he had committed both rapes. He claimed he had been extremely intoxicated in both instances and had no memory of the attacks, while insisting he was pretty sure he did not use a box knife to threaten the most recent victim, as she claimed. All of this from an article in the Herald Times on Thursday this week, as Judge Kellums dismissed his box cutter claim and told Honeycutt he could not rescind his guilty plea. Quote, there's no legal basis for the defendant to withdraw his pleas, the judge said. It's too late. The 35-year-old Bloomington man received the 30-year sentence for the 2015 rape and will serve three-fourths of the time, which is 22 and a half years. Added on to that is 7.5 years for the older case, and he will be supervised probation for a decade after his prison release. Monroe County Deputy Prosecutor Darcy Fawcett said that when the victim of the June 2015 attack saw the newspaper article that Honeycutt had changed his mind about pleading guilty, she was outraged and scared at the prospect of reliving the night through a deposition and another trial. So it sounds like Mr. Honeycutt is going to be going away for quite some time now. Also on the legal scene locally in Bloomington, Thursday this week, a man found carrying a loaded semi-automatic handgun and accused of pointing it at a motorist on Wednesday afternoon was taken into custody by Monroe County Police. According to the Herald Times, Monroe County Police apprehended Richard Peter Michael Jr. on felony charges of intimidation and pointing a firearm. Sheriff's Office received a report Wednesday afternoon that a man in the area of Airport and Kirby Roads on the west side of Bloomington had pointed a weapon at a motorist. The motorist told police she was driving on Airport Road past Peter Michael, who yelled something and pointed his gun at her. When deputies arrived in the area, they spotted Peter Michael, who fit the description of the suspect and had a handgun grip sticking out of a pocket on the back of his pants. He was carrying a black Taurus 9mm semi-automatic handgun that was loaded and was later booked into the Monroe County Correctional Center. If you have heart disease, if you see a cardiologist in Bloomington, and as I mentioned, it's Heart Month, you may be looking for your physician in a new location in the not-too-distant future. On Tuesday this week, seven premier healthcare cardiologists announced that they will be leaving the physician group in May to join Southern Indiana Physicians. That's a physician group within the IU Health System. The physicians include Drs. Andrew Ferguson, James Fix, Greg Hoyman, Jennifer Peterson, Mohan Shenoy, John Strobel, and Kevin Zawaki. They all work at the Landmark Medical Center on the west side of Bloomington, among other community clinics. These seven will practice out of Southern Indiana Physicians Clinics come May 1st, but their new office locations have not been finalized by IU Health, and IU Health does plan to advertise the physicians' new locations in time to help patients adjust to the providers. The cardiologist approached IU Health as a group to discuss a transition from Premier to SIP, SIP, according to Terry DeMatteis, the Vice President of Marketing and Community Relations for IU Health Bloomington. The physicians informed Premier leadership of that decision last week, said Brad Bamba, who is an internal medicine physician and one chairman of Premier Healthcare. Bamba said the announcement from the Premier physicians came as a surprise. Premier has offered cardiology care since Dr. Larry Rink, Dr. Gene Creek, and Dr. David John Laws formed IMA back in 1972. Dr. Larry Rink is now the only remaining founding member of IMA, which is now a division of Premier Healthcare. Premier currently has 8 cardiologists and 3 nurse practitioners who accept cardiac patients. And effective May 1st, unless things change, only 1 cardiologist, Dr. Larry Rink, and the 3 nurse practitioners will remain with the organization. And on the educational scene, and I wanted to get Mr. Piller in tonight, but we'll hopefully see him next week. Area school corporations received A's and B's when the Indiana State Board of Education finalized letter grades for school districts on Wednesday this week. Monroe County Community School Corporation received A grades for 4 years in a row, and Richland Bean Blossom Community School Corporation received its 3rd B grade since 2013. They are in a high class, however. They are among 226 schools in the state that received an A or B letter grade. Every local school system has the same grade in 2015 that it received in 2014 because, as we all have heard and know and are aware of, the schools were held harmless, as it's called, from the impact of the 2015 ISTEP test that is used to determine A through F grades for individual schools. Also on the local area for 2015, Brown County received an A, Bloomfield, Eastern Green, and Linton-Stockton all received A's, and then Shackamack, White River Valley, and Spencer Owen Community Schools all received B letter grades. We're going to take a break, come back. There's a lot more news to discuss, and then we'll get into Heart Month as February rolls through and talk a little bit about some steps that you can do to improve your cardiac health and raise a little bit of awareness and help those around you have a long, healthy life as well. Plus, plenty in sports, so stay with me. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Minman here with you, and I was just reading about the passing of yet another musician who has impacted the lives of a lot of people over the years. On Thursday this week, it was announced that Maurice White, who was the founder and leader of the R&B group Earth, Wind, and Fire, passed away at the age of 74. He died in Los Angeles, according to his brother, who was the group bass player, Verdeen White. And it was announced on Twitter and Facebook that he passed away at his home peacefully in his sleep, his brother stated. The world has lost another great musician and legend, and our family asks that our privacy is respected as we start what will be a very difficult and life-changing transition in our lives. Earth, Wind, and Fire is a one of those bands that when you hear the horns and everything, you're just kind of, you can't help but smile, and you can't help but get up a little bit and have a good time with their music. Just phenomenal orchestrations, and they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame back in 2000. They won 6 Grammys over the course of their career. September is one of the big hits there. Shining Star. They did a great cover of the Beatles' Got to Get You Into My Life, and also the song Boogie Wonderland. So, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Pick up some, pick up an album. I don't know if anybody picks up albums anymore. I still try and find some stuff in the bargain bins at different places, but album, CD, your favorite digital source, whatever the case may be, get a little Earth, Wind, and Fire in your life this weekend. Speaking of music also, congratulations to the Hoosier Youth Philharmonic, they're part of the Capitol Orchestra Festival at the Kennedy Center on February 14th of this year. That's out in Washington, D.C., of course. The Music Celebrations International presents 7 outstanding youth orchestras from across the United States in its Capitol Orchestra Festival 2016. 4 orchestras, which includes the Hoosier Youth Philharmonic, will be performing in a matinee concert and three other orchestras are going to be performing that evening as well. A variety of classical works by Brahms, Bernstein, Holst, Mendelssohn, and more. So congratulations to all of them. They are under the direction of Jane Gauker as well. You know, this one, it just seems to pop up every so often, and I don't know if I get ticked or amazed how it happens or what, but in Bloomington this week, it was announced that two credit card skimmers were found on two different Circle K gas stations this week. Now, these are small electrical devices that are attached by thieves and ne'er-do-wells and all of that, trying to capture credit card data of users. They were found early Tuesday afternoon inside two gas pumps, both on East 3rd Street, one at 2700 East 3rd, the other at 527 East 3rd. The employees noticed a gas pump display window appeared rather dim and called a repairman to the location, first at the 2700 East 3rd location. The credit card skimmer was then discovered inside the gas pump. The other gas stations were then notified of the identity theft device, and officials at the gas station believe that the device had been on the pump from about noon on Monday until noon on Tuesday, so about a 24-hour window. According to Bloomington Police Captain Steve Kellums, he recommends that consumers at the locations of really any Circle K gas station and really any gas station in Bloomington check your credit or check your bank accounts and credit reports for potential fraudulent activity or signs of identity theft, and always make sure to alert the employees of the gas station if you suspect anything suspicious. You can always go into a gas station and give them your card and prepay for your gas as well. I know it's convenient to do it at the pump, but if you need to go in, maybe that's what you need to think about, especially if you've been a victim of credit card fraud, excuse me, or identity theft. And while on this topic, because I talked about this a lot when I used to co-host Your Money with David Hayes here on WGCL, if you need to get a credit report, because I've had a few friends recently who have experienced their credit card numbers being stolen and used in different places, the free ones that you see on television, those aren't free. Can you believe it? They're really not. The one site that you can go to is called annualcreditreport.com. Annualcreditreport.com. All one word, no spaces, no dashes, anything like that. This is a government website that connects you to the three credit bureau, reporting bureau agencies, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. You are, as an American citizen, are provided one free credit report from each of the credit reporting agencies on an annual basis. So what I used to tell people who would experience this kind of thing, if it was, it's February, so you find out that you need to check your credit report, you go do it right now with Experian. 4 months down the line, in June, you check it with Equifax. Then when you get to October, you check TransUnion for the third report, and you just keep on that rotation, and you get those for free. It doesn't impact your credit report, your credit score, anything like that. I know Dave Ramsey talks about all the credit scores and credit reports and everything and getting out of debt. I understand that, but there are still people who have to do these kinds of things as well. Annualcreditreport.com does ask some fairly invasive questions. It's amazing the information that they know. How much in a ballpark your mortgage payment or rent payment is? Did you have a car loan through a certain bank? Did you have a credit card with a certain store? They ask these things to make sure that they have your correct identity. So if you are a victim of credit card fraud, if you're a victim of this gas situation and you're worried about if your credit card has been used, annualcreditreport.com. I cannot tell you that enough, and it's free. So that's where you need to go to. One final quick story before we take a break and get into a Heart Month discussion. There's a bill that's been moving through the General Assembly in the state of Indiana that could leave an initiative to ban single-use plastic bags here in Bloomington dead in the water. Now, this proposal was authored by a Republican from southwestern Indiana, and it would eliminate the ability of local government entities to regulate single-use and retail containers, whether reusable or disposable. From Government Tracker, they say that specifically local governments would not be able to adopt or enforce ordinances or resolutions to prohibit restrict, charge fees for, or tax the usage of these containers should the law pass. So that means that the efforts by the group Bring Your Bag Bloomington, which hopes to get an ordinance through City Council that would first charge for and then ban single-use plastic bags, would never see a result. I'm all for recycling. I'm all for reusing. It's all about personal responsibility. So if you use those plastic bags, here's what I do. Whenever you go get your dry cleaning and you take your suits or your sport coats or your dresses, whatever, out of those bags, tie a knot in it, put it upside down, run a hanger through it, stick it in the closet, collect all your plastic bags in there, and then when it gets full, run it to your favorite local recycling center, and you are good to go. Let's talk Heart Month here in just a couple minutes. Stay with me here on the Bloomington Review. Let's take a few minutes and talk about heart health here on the Bloomington Review. This is something close to me personally for a variety of reasons, and I really have never come across anyone who has no connection to heart disease, whether it be in their family, a friend, a loved one, somebody that they know has some kind of heart illness. And really, it's an amazing number to think about. The American Heart Association has some statistics for 2016, and cardiovascular disease is the leading global cause of death and accounting for more than 17.3 million deaths per year, with the number expected to grow to more than 23 million by the year 2030. And really, that's only 14 years away, folks. Think about it. Back in 2013, cardiovascular deaths represented 31% of all global deaths, with 80% of those taking place in low and middle income countries. Now, here in the United States, nearly 801,000 people died from heart disease, stroke, or other cardiovascular illnesses back in 2013. That accounts for about one out of every three deaths in the United States. That equates to about 2,200 Americans dying each day from these diseases, or one every 40 seconds. So in a 60-minute show, you're talking almost 70 people who die of cardiac illness in this hour. Cardiovascular diseases claim more lives than all forms of cancer combined, and about 85.6 million Americans are living with some form of cardiovascular disease or the after effects of a stroke. The reason I mention stroke is because this is something that I didn't even know until I joined the American Heart Association back in October, but the American Heart Association is also the American Stroke Association. Stroke Month is in April. There is a great acronym, FAST, that you can recall about a stroke patient, as somebody who you think is having a stroke. One is a facial droop, they call it, and then the A is for the arm strength. You may notice that one side of their face or the one side of their body is starting to go limp or have some muscle issues. The S stands for speech. It may be slurred, it may be gibberish, it may be a variety of things. But when you have a facial drooping where you one side of the mouth drops, the eye seems to not, the eyes don't match each other, you have the facial, you have the arm muscular component, you have the speech, the T in FAST means it's time to call 911. But getting back to cardiovascular disease, one of the programs that the American Heart Association promotes to everyone across the globe is called Life Simple 7. It's a very simple idea, as the name says, about seven things that anyone can do to help control their risk for heart disease. It does not mean it's going to eliminate it, but it can give you a much better chance of preventing it in your life. The first one, of course, is getting active. Just simply engaging in some type of physical activity. 30 minutes a day, moderate physical activity. That's just a good walk, folks. That is not doing some jumping on a box that's 3 feet in the air and lifting 10 million pounds and all that other stuff. This is simply going out for a nice walk, maybe doing some aerobic exercises, maybe a nice bicycle ride as the weather warms up. You can do a lot of things in your home as well. But 30 minutes of exercise five times a week, maybe even seven times a week. Do it every day. Can't hurt. You can almost guarantee just getting a little bit more active to have a healthier and more satisfying life while lowering your risk for heart disease as well as stroke and diabetes. this. Second step in the Life Simple 7 program is called, or is controlling your cholesterol. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone as well. As we all get older, this is a number that is commonly tested in our blood work. So make sure that you have your blood work tested regularly. See your physician. If you have the opportunity through your health or your work organization, if there is a health clinic there, take the time to get your cholesterol checked. Learn what the HDL and LDL stands for, and make sure that you are just educating yourself about your health and your body. Number three, eating better. No surprise there as well. If you're frequently skipping out on vegetables and fruits and low-fat items and whole grains and things like that, you're missing some of the basic stuff that you need to have a healthy life. So keep a food diary. This is one thing that a lot of people who need to lose weight, they really focus on a food diary and journaling what they eat. Of course, eat fruits and vegetables. They're available all over the place. You can find them at your grocery store, farmers markets. There's no excuse to not be able to find a fruit and vegetable in this town. Try considering fish at least twice a week. There's a variety of fish recipes that you can find online, a lot of different types of fish. So if you don't want a fishy taste, so to speak, there's some things that you can take a look for. And also watch sugar. Sugar and salt are big for heart disease, diabetes, stroke, all of that. And dropping your sugar and salt intake can make a huge impact on your personal health. Also, when you're getting your cholesterol checked, check your blood pressure as well. Talk with your physician about that. A lot of people experience what they call white coat syndrome when they get into a doctor's office and get concerned about what is actually going to be, and they work themselves up a little bit to indicate that they have a higher blood pressure. Talk with your physician about that and make sure that you are maintaining a good blood pressure that helps you helps keep less strain on your heart, your arteries, your kidneys, and all of those other important organs in your body. It never hurts to lose a few pounds. We all know it. It's always a struggle, so I'm not going down that road. If you have a higher BMI, that body mass index, you know, it is a challenge. I'm right there with you, trust me. But again, part of that goes back to the one before of eating better. So consider that. Also, reducing blood sugar, as I mentioned, is a important deal. And one of the biggest ones that I think that anybody can consider is stopping smoking. Smoking is a terrible habit, not just for what it does to your body, but what it does to your health, what it does to your finances, just all kinds of ways that smoking impacts so many things. It is a challenge to quit smoking. I've done it. I know a lot of people who have struggled with it to do it, and it's tough, I understand, but there are ways to do it. Again, talk with your physician. If you work with an organization that has a support group of some kind, know that you don't have to do this alone, that you can get rid of the nicotine fix. There are a variety of ways. There's patches, there's pills, there's cold turkey, there's all kinds of things. It is a challenge, but it is definitely something that anyone can do when they get into the mindset. So as I mentioned, it's Heart Month, and that's why we've been talking over this for the last few minutes. And there's a great event coming up that's open to the community on February 19th. That's a Friday at the Convention Center. We kind of teased this a little bit last week when Pat Wilson was on talking about the Bloomington North Habitat for Humanity gala event, because that's the night before. But Friday, February 19th, is the Go Red for Women Luncheon. And this is an American Heart Association event that I have been working with a variety of folks to put together. Cook Group, IU Health, Bloomington, Marky's Audio Video, our great support from WGCL and WTTS. A variety of organizations are sponsoring this to raise awareness for health, cardiac health in Bloomington and Monroe County. It's called Go Red for Women. I know that. It does not mean that this is exclusively a female-only event, though. If you are a guy hearing this, if you have a loved one who has experienced heart illness, or this is just a near and dear organization to you, you are welcome to join us at bloomingtongored.org. That's where you purchase your tickets and get your table reservation for this event. It's a luncheon. Convention Center starts at 10:30 in the morning, And we're going to have a variety of experiences and educational components that people can visit during the first hour from 10:30 to 11:30. And then we'll transition into the luncheon and have a couple of cardiologists from Bloomington that will be speaking. We have a wonderful story of a woman out of Lawrence County who at 50 years old, who had a history of family heart issues. She'd eaten well. She's a nurse. She's done all the right things. And she thought she was having a gallbladder attack and turned out that she was having a heart attack instead. So she's going to be sharing her story at this event as well. And then our keynote speaker, which I'm so thrilled about on top of everything else, is IndyCar racer and owner Sarah Fisher. You've heard her name many times. Sarah's going to be coming to Bloomington and speaking with us at our Go Red Luncheon on Friday, February 19th. Again, bloomingtongored.org, bloomingtongored.org. You can get your tickets. This is a fundraiser. There is going to be a silent auction. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff taking place. And I really think that the community needs to engage in this and participate because this illness, cardiac disease, impacts all of us in so many different ways. We'll be talking about this more over the next couple of weeks. You're going to hear a lot of information about it here on WGCL as well. And a personal thank you to the station for being a partner with us this month. It is Heart Month. Wear red when you can. And we'll talk more over the next few weeks about it as well. Going to take a break, though. Completely shift gears. Let's go into Super Bowl mode. Let's go into IU basketball mode. Let's go into IU football mode. Let's talk some sports when we get back. Stay with me here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Let's get you some sports action here as we wrap up the program this week. First of all, last Saturday was the Reds Caravan out at College Mall, and thanks to the great crowd who came out and enjoyed all the guys and the crew who were there from the Cincinnati Reds. The location got moved at the last minute, from what I understand, from one side of the mall to the other. We were actually set up in front of Macy's on the inside of College Mall, and I got out there a little bit before noon. There was a great engagement. The guys had taken a quick lunch break and came back, and probably 30 or 40 standing in line for the second half, if you will, of the Reds Caravan. And it's a great thing, and really honored to have the Cincinnati Reds come out to Bloomington and be a part of our day and meet a lot of the local folks. I saw a lot of Reds fans who had great big grins on their faces when they had the opportunity to meet the guys. So thanks to the Cincinnati Reds and everybody who came out to College Mall last weekend for the Reds Caravan. Before we get into the big stuff here, of course, last night was the North Edgewood game out at the Mustang Corral. So you've got all that coverage. We're getting into a variety of things coming up. Edgewood had the WIC game, the West Indiana Conference, last week. Just a variety of stuff on the high school side. Joe will have all of your updates on Monday morning with Glass, 7:45 and 8:45, because there's so much going on this weekend. I'm not going to get too in the woods with all of that. The big thing, though, of course, is Super Bowl 50 this Sunday right here on WGCL Radio. Denver Broncos, Carolina Panthers, it's a matchup for sure, and there is a lot of discussion about the game, but I think for Hoosiers and Broncos fans as well, but the big discussion is about Peyton Manning and what is going to be happening with him after Super Bowl 50 takes place on Sunday. So when Peyton wakes up on Monday morning, hopefully with another ring being sized for his hand so he can have a pair of those, it's going to be interesting to see what he does. There's been a lot of rumors, as I mentioned earlier in the show, about his next steps, and some of his friends have commented to the media that he has been discussing retirement. He's 39 years old. He's still a very solid quarterback for the Broncos and has proven that this year, even with some injuries that sidelined him for a few games. But we all know as well the injuries and frustrations and health concerns that he's had over the last few years, with including his transition from the Indianapolis Colts to the Denver Broncos. So let's just, first of all, have a great game Sunday night. I've really not seen any previews for the Super Bowl commercials or anything like that, so I'll be watching and listening to the radio station both. Santa Clara, Levi's Stadium, it's the first Super Bowl in Northern California since back in 1985, so the college kids won't even have seen a Super Bowl in California before. How does that make you feel old, ladies and gentlemen. And the halftime show, we touched on this last week as well. Coldplay, Beyonce, and Bruno Mars. I don't get it, to be honest, so I'm very curious how this is all going to shake out. Beyonce has headlined a Super Bowl, so has Bruno Mars. So I don't know if Coldplay was kind of a, let's see who we can get at this point. I don't know. But regardless, Super Bowl 50 here on WGCL. And just tune in and enjoy the game Sunday night. And post your pictures up on the WGCL Facebook page of your favorite Super Bowl food and what you're eating this weekend as well. Men's basketball at Indiana University. They're 19-4 overall. They're ranked number 22 in the nation, and they're 9-1 in the Big Ten, tied for first place with Iowa right now. They've got another game tomorrow on Saturday against Penn State, and then they're going to be followed by Iowa coming to Bloomington on February 11th for a 9 o'clock game. So depending on how the next few days shake out, number one versus number one in the Big Ten may be meeting up to decide that tiebreaker. And then the Hoosiers are going to be heading back north to Michigan State on Valentine's Day, February 14th. Speaking of the Hoosiers, Yogi Ferrell is a nominee for the Bob Cousy Award, and congratulations to Yogi. This was announced on Monday this week as Yogi, of course we all know, is a senior at IU, was named as one of 10 finalists for the honor, and it will narrow in on five further finalists. Why did they put five further finalists? In March. Ferrell leads IU in scoring and assist this season, and he is one of two Big Ten players selected to be finalist, joining Maryland's Milo Tremble, and the announcement will come Friday, April 8th at the ESPN College Basketball Awards show. So all the best to Yogi and that. And also on the IU athletic scene, it was a busy few weeks, but on Wednesday, Kevin Wilson, the coach of the IU Hoosiers football team, wrapped up by announcing the addition of 21 players to the Hoosiers' 2016 signing class. Above all else, Wilson made one thing clear, according to IUHoosiers.com. He likes the guys he got. Wilson's quoted as saying, "It's a good class. I do think every year we're starting at a higher development part, bringing in a better product. Still a lot of work to do, but very excited about these guys." The incoming freshmen are probably going to see some time on the field, judging by the statistics over the last few years. So we'll see how that happens. And the coaching staff this year said that they were really looking for long, athletic bodies to add. They didn't go for the small, quick guys like they've done in previous years and trying to get an overall balance of players on the field. And Wilson credits the Pinstripe Bowl run this year and also his new six-year contract for helping with the recruitment for IU football this upcoming season. But really, he's already on the ball to get moving on to the next class and the football season coming up in just a hard to believe, but just a few months. Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? And what is it to do? Oh, one final thing also. Tony Stewart is going to be sitting out from his final NASCAR Sprint Cup season, at least the first part of it, I should say, after breaking his back, L1 vertebrae, earlier this week. He underwent surgery on Wednesday, according to USA Today. He was riding around in a sand car with a group in Southern California Sunday last weekend. Was transported to a local hospital, then flew to North Carolina on Tuesday night, where he was admitted to a Charlotte area hospital. He's expected to make a full recovery. They say this is called a burst fracture. It's a spinal injury which occurs most often, according to this article, in either car crashes or falls from a significant height. The vertebrae cannot handle the load when the compression occurs and gets crushed, spreading out the bones. That sounds terribly painful. So he has had he's been in the news over the last few years. We're not going into all of that, but hopefully Tony Stewart makes a full recovery as he is headed into his last year of NASCAR. We're going to take a break. We'll wrap up the show. Stay with me here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim and me here to wrap up the program. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. It's the first weekend of February, and the weather forecast has a little bit of warmth and then a little bit of chill coming up. Tonight, Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low around 24. On Saturday, a slight chance of rain and snow showers before 1 p.m., then a slight chance of rain, showers in the afternoon, high near 47 on Saturday, and then dropping to a low around 28 Saturday night. Sunday, partly sunny, high near 49, and then early next week, chance of rain and snow, highs in the mid to upper 20s Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on the extended forecast. Of course, all your weather, all the time, right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. I hope you got a little bit of good information out of the heart discussion from earlier in the program. I'll put some links up at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and also on WGCLRadio.com on our podcast website. You go to the local shows link, click on the Bloomington Review, and boom, you are right there. Interesting news out of Indianapolis Thursday. I just saw this as I was scrolling through here. Don Davis passed away. You might not recognize Don Davis, but Don's Guns, ladies and gentlemen, well-known Indianapolis gun store owner, passed away Thursday at the age of 82. He was all those commercials for so many years where he did the trigger finger, trigger thumb, and said, "I don't want to make any money, folks. I just love to sell guns." A little bit of interesting history, according to Fox 59. He was born in Missouri and served during the Korean War with the U.S. Army. Came to Indianapolis in the 1960s and became a bar bouncer, and then later caught the attention of the Teamsters Union, Local 135. Soon, Davis, according to the WXIN Fox 59, soon Davis was a confidant of Teamsters president Jimmy Hoffa and a troubleshooter for the union boss. Then in the 1970s, Davis began his business with a handful of guns and a license that allowed him to set up shop in a garage. Soon his business grew, and he became one of the most prolific gun dealers in the United States. He often portrayed a common sense approach to gun sales while arguing, quote, "If the Constitution and Congress and the governor and the mayor say it's legal, who am I to disagree?" So Don's Guns, Mr. Don Davis, passing away at the age of 82 up in Indianapolis. Our friend Julie Warren, the director of tourism for Visit Bloomington, has some fun stuff going on around Bloomington and Monroe County this weekend. Of course, it is the first Friday, so that means it's gallery walk time. That started Friday evening at 5 o'clock, so if you're catching this, you can still head out and enjoy downtown and find yourself a nice little spot to enjoy and get some food and all of that good stuff. The Eli Young Band is going to be performing at the Bluebird on Saturday evening, February 6th. At 8 p.m., they cover a lot of things from country to Heartland Rock, Tom Petty, the classic Eagles, things like that. So the Bluebird will be hosting the Eli Young Band on Saturday night. Toast is a Bloomington Playwrights Project and IU Collaborative musical. Julie talked about this a few weeks back. It's a electrical music, an electric new musical, I should say, about love, the Big Easy, and the difference between living a temporary life and a permanent one. This is taking place at the Bloomington Playwrights Project on 9th Street all weekend long, 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday nights. Then on Sunday the 7th, IU Wrestling versus Purdue, 1 o'clock at the IU Gym out on the bypass, and IU Women's Basketball versus Nebraska, 2 o'clock at Assembly Hall on Sunday. Also mentioned early on in the program, if you're headed out to the west side towards Ellettsville, Saturday, February 6th, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's the Contest of Champions Show Choir Invitational. More than 30 groups are competing and performing out there. Junior high groups, like freshman groups where they're just getting started, so to speak. Unisex, all female for the most part. I don't think we have any all-guy groups. And then we have our championship groups competing out at Edgewood High School this weekend. So head out to Contest of Champions. Flag me down. I will be the MC in the gymnasium. We have two venues this year, auditorium at Edgewood High School and then the gymnasium as well. So lots of fun stuff this weekend and decent weather as we head into another week. Hopefully Mr. Pillar will be back next week, working on a few guests as well. Schedule was a little bit hectic this week, but we will make it happen for sure. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Follow us over there for all the information. And again, WGCLRadio.com and at WGCLRadio on Twitter as well. Everybody have a great weekend. Take those heart tips to heart and do a little something for yourself to make sure that you're headed in the right direction for your own health. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.